Well, let's pray. Father, I know we've been praying a lot this morning, but God, I got to stop again and ask for the word to be revealed to us. You know what's on my heart, I believe, because you put it there. And so I ask you to help and guide and show us where you want us to go. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Man, I'm struggling a little bit with where to begin this morning, and you'll understand as we go through. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Man, I am going to need something to drink. Somebody grab me a water. That would be fantastic. 2 Peter. I'm not in Peter. Hold on. Let me get with you guys. 2 Peter. I'm almost there. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. I love these verses. I as many of you know, I'm son, you're all right. By the way, that was awesome drumming this morning, kid. Ooh. I don't know. There's some people that just pick it up. You'd think he had been playing for years, right? I think he's been maybe 6 months. He's never played that other song ever before in his life. That was the first time. I have to work at it for months to get a song down. Anyway, good job. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Most of you know, I'm a concrete finisher. I'm a foundations guy. I build foundations. I've built big foundations. I've built, I was talking to somebody about how long I've been doing it and all I've built. And it's easier to tell you the things I haven't built. I haven't ever built a nuclear plant. That's there. I haven't done that. Bridges, hydroelectric, parking garages, structures. Most of the other stuff I've been involved in building. I'm a foundations guy. I built lots of foundations. And from that, I began to discover that you always build a foundation to put something on it. And that's the purpose of foundations. And I love in 1 Peter because it says that when it talks about your faith, it says, giving all diligence, add to your faith. I don't want this to come off as though somehow I'm saying that your faith isn't enough or that the foundation of Christ isn't enough, because I believe it is. Never forget one morning we were getting ready to pour a foundation it was a control panel for a hydroelectric plant. So we're talking about 8 to 10 feet of concrete. So this isn't like, you know, we're going to pour hundreds and hundreds of yards in here, and we get ready to pour. And all of a sudden, the engineers start freaking out everywhere, because you got to know, when you pour that much concrete, it's very expensive to remove. And the engineers started freaking out everywhere because there was some electrical conduit that we had missed. And it's a control panel for the hydroelectric plant. I think that's important. The thing is, when God built a foundation for us through Christ, it's perfect. He didn't leave anything out. All right. Everything is there. So when I say that, when I begin to share with you, I want to share some things that are really, really on my heart. And I believe that God is sharing some things with me, and I want to share them with you. So what I'm saying, when I say add to your faith, we're not saying that we need to fix what God did. I'm saying that there's more for you. Okay. There's more for you in the process. And so I love this. He says, add to your faith. He said, verse 5, and giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience. We are not going to go over all of these. They're there. You keep reading them. I'm actually only going to cover one word in that whole thing. So you keep reading. It's powerful. I'm working on a book over these things. One word, virtue. And here's the question. What is virtue? We know patience is a virtue. What is virtue? When you're going to add virtue, what does that look like? And that stumped me for a while. I got to be honest. I mean, so if somebody asks you what add virtue, all I can think about is the things we say are virtue. And then he lists all those, right? He lists patience and kindness. He lists all those. So it's not talking about all those things, because those come after we list. So I was stuck. I'm like, what is virtue? And Fortunately, I had a very wise father and some man who loved God, a mother who loved God, was saved. I almost brought her Bible with me this morning because of some of the things, but I'll bring her Bible one time. I have my mom's Bible. It's very precious to me. She hand wrote it word for word, the entire book. So it's very precious to me. She scribed the entire Bible.
Yes.
Yeah. I almost brought it this morning. I'll bring it, let you see it sometime. They loved and they taught me some things, and I learned something from them about virtue. Now let me define virtue for you. Virtue is when you conform to a principle. Okay? Now that principle can be a moral principle, which we believe that they are, but the word virtue means to conform to. Do you know what is not popular today? Conformity. We think everything should go, right? We think whatever we do should be okay. We kind of want to just do whatever we want to do. And it's basically another word that could describe virtue is, are you ready? This one's a good one. You're going to like this. Submission. Woo, getting excited now. Submission. The Bible says that once you believe and you have faith, add to your faith conformity. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean you all want to look like me? Lord, I hope not. But here's the thing. My dad taught me this. He said there's two ways to study the Bible. The first way to study the Bible is you decide what it is you believe, and you get your Bible and you prove it. Anybody ever know anybody like that? I'm not looking at anybody. They decide what they believe, and then they take the Bible and try to prove what they believe. Okay, that's one way. A lot of people study the Bible that way. The other way you study the Bible is you read the Bible, you learn what it says, and then you conform you to match it. It's not as fun. It's not as fun. But it's powerful. As a church, I'm going to be honest with you. As a church, I know we've been a church for a long time. But the Lord is doing something brand new here. This is a whole new thing. And as we get ready to do that, I want to share some things from my heart with you. And I mean this, everything's within me. I want to do what this says. See, we all come from different backgrounds. We have different trainings. We've learned different theologies. We've learned different things. We've got all of this stuff that we've learned, and it's all different. We all have different backgrounds. We have different teachers, and we've learned from different groups. And when we come together, you know what happens? Sometimes we don't always, our ideas and thoughts don't always fit together. You can say amen. That's all right. You could say, yeah, ain't that right, preacher? I've been listening to you for a while. I don't agree with you. That's okay. You could say, sometimes we don't fit. And so my heart's desire, and this is from the pit of my heart, I want to conform to this. Amen. Okay, I want to conform to what this says we should be, not what I thought we should be before, not what others have said we should be. I want to conform to this. I want to conform to this. All right, let's turn. I got to hurry. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. And if you've heard this story before from me, I'm sorry, I'm going to tell it again. If it happened to you, I bet you'd tell it again too. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 said, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat about that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon a rock. But everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them, I am paraphrasing, by the way, he shall be like a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now I'm going to share a story. You guys, here it goes. We get a little bit weird on you. It's not a cement story. It's a sand story. Many years ago, when a church was first started, I was working a job that was out of town enough that I would leave Sunday night, and then I would go to the job, and then we would stay in a motel and work during the week, and then and then come back, and the church was just getting started, so I was pushing hard to try to make things go and help the church grow. And I was exhausted and I was tired, and the church would build up a little bit and then drop back down, and then build up a little bit and then drop back down and build up. You know, it was just this thing that was going on, and I was struggling in my life. I was struggling with God. I was struggling with what was happening. And one night after work, I went out at the ocean, and I built a fire out on the beach because I like building fires. And nobody frowned on it back then. So I built a big fire out on the beach, and I'm sitting there on the beach, and I built this fire, and I'm standing by the fire, and the ocean begins to come in, and it begins to singe the edges of my fire. And right there in that place, I mean, it was like God just, I just had a moment with God, right? And I don't know about you, but I have these where I'm like, God, that is how I feel. I do, and I work, and I'm struggling, and I'm fighting, and I'm doing all this stuff. And every time I think something, it's like the wave comes in and begins to singe and put the fire out. I said, what's going on, Lord? I'm standing there praying, and I thought, you know what, God? Maybe if this fire goes out, you're telling me that you don't want me to be pastor, and I should move on to something else. So while I'm pondering these things on the beach in the evening by myself, a gentleman starts walking across the beach. And I think to myself, faithful man that I am, now that I've said that to God, I wonder what time high tide is. Right? All of the panic began to set in. Hold on, maybe I shouldn't have said that. And he's walking along the beach, and I'm testifying this actually happened to me. And I said, hey, do you know what time high tide is? And he responded in the hippiest, I'm blown out of my mind response, no, I don't know, man. You want to know what time high tide is so your fire doesn't go out, huh, dude? At this point, I'm thinking, I am having a moment with God. I don't want to deal with the drug addict. Okay? So it's like, no, it's fine. It's not a big deal, man. It's no problem. Please don't come by my fire. What does he do? Walks over to the fire. You want to know what I would do, man? How many of you think my answer was yes? Right? Oh, please tell me what you would do. And then he says, man, what I would do is I would take some of that fire and I would... You're in church, so you get a free pass on this. I was talking to a drug addict. So it's easy for you to catch what he says next. I was talking to a drug addict. And he says to me, I would take some of that fire, and I would move it over there on those rocks. Man, that's what I would do. And I'm like, dude, man, I really just, if you could just move on. All right. It's late. I'm tired. I've been working a long time. It's been a long day. You're talking about restarting the fire, right? I mean, you're talking about taking a little over there, rebuilding the fire over there on the rocks. And I said to him, I'm like, dude, man, no, it's all right. I said, I'm just asking. You know, I really didn't want to work that hard at it, okay? It's just a fire. Just go on. Now, God knew it wasn't, and I knew it wasn't, and somehow the drug addict knew it wasn't. And he turned to me, and the last words he said to me, I'll never forget. Ever, as long as I live. He said, wow, that'd be like a spiritual thing to me, man. And he walked off down the beach. And my religion began to build up within me. Who does he think he is? My religion began to build up. My pride began to well up within me. My pride began to well up, and my religion began to well up. And I said, you know what? God can do anything. I've watched God. I've seen God heal in the emergency room. I'll tell you about it sometime. The surgeons were mad because they were prepping him for surgery. God healed him instantly in the emergency room. I was there. The surgeon was mad because he just got called for emergency surgery. I'll tell you about it sometime. So I've seen God move miracles, and I'm like, that's it, God. You can hold back the ocean. And I started proclaiming it, right? And I'm hallelujah, and you're going to hold back this water. And my pride just began to swell up within me. What happened next was the most incredible thing I think I've ever seen. One wave. Do you know what wood does when a wave hits them hard? It floats. Every stick of wood floated and was extinguished in a second. Gone. As the wave went back out, I watched the sand. It turns the sand. And where there was a fire, there was white-ish beach. Not even a scorched mark where the fire had been. Boy, God really talked to you. No, I didn't get any of it. I'm like, I guess I'm going to bed. And I went home. It took me about 3 days to work through that in my mind. And probably about 25 years to begin to understand that I want to build a church that's not based upon us. It's not based upon pride. It's not based upon what I think or what I think I know. It's not based upon what my mind tells me, but it's based upon that rock that's Christ. I began to recognize that if we're really going to make a difference in the world, it can't be about us. It can't be about me. It can't be about how smart I am. It has to be based about what He said. Amen. And from that, I want to share with you. God is doing a new thing, and new things are cropping up, and I don't understand everything that God's doing in this place. I don't understand everything that's happening, and I don't have it under control. Smile at me. But I want us to do the best we can as a church, and we're going to do what this says. Now, if that hurts your feelings, submit. Amen. If it makes you mad, because that's not how it was ever done in church before, and they let you do that or whatever it was, right? That's how they've done it. Submit. Not to me, to God's word. I want to build a church that will follow God's word. Why? Because I believe God is about to do something. Yeah. Now, why? Why do I think that? Why do I think that? About last year, it doesn't matter to me whether you think I'm crazy or not. I know I'm not. Last year, in the middle of the night, I'm laying in bed, and the Lord wakes me up out of a dead street sleep, and He speaks to me. I hear Him speak to me. It's okay. Don't get mad at me. Just listen for a second. I hear Him speak to me. And He says, "My son, incline your ear to my sayings." And that was it. And I'm like, "Please, whatever it is, just say it. I'm listening." Nothing. Nothing. He basically said, "Hey, listen to me." And that was it. The next Sunday morning, I came to church. Many of you were there. And I came to church and I'm like, "I don't know what you're trying to say, God. I don't know what you're trying to say to us as a church, and I don't know what you're trying to do, but please, whatever it is, just tell us." And we begin to worship, and I got to be honest, I had a message, but I couldn't preach. I was just like, "I don't know what's going on. I'm confused. I'm lost. I don't know what God is doing." And we just shut the church down, if you remember, that Sunday morning, and we gathered around and began to pray, "God, we need you to do something. What's going on, and what do you want from us?" And as we prayed throughout that service, and as we were praying, remember, the message came up about the fleece, that they threw a fleece out before God. If God, you have a plan, remember, prove it. I love it when you tell God to prove it. Don't do it unless you're ready for Him to prove it, by the way. I said, "If you want, prove it, God." And we had a huge prayer service, and we said, "God, prove it. Prove that you are trying to do something with this little church." 2 months later, after renting for 29 and a half years, 2 months later to the Sunday, the church that was in this building gathered and prayed and voted to combine the two churches and let us move into here, a building paid for with no mortgage, no payments, and nothing, with free and clear. It's valued at about a little over $1 million. This property is valued at $1 million. 2 months later to the Sunday, this church voted to let us move in here. Okay? We had no possible way. We'd been saving money to buy a building, but what we had couldn't have come close to what we needed to actually buy a building. Now, it's praise the Lord because we're using that money to put our air conditioners in. Right? Right. But now we have a problem, church. Because we cast a fleece before God. Prove it. You want to use us. And he said, okay, how about $1 million building? And you know what we normally say after that? Okay, prove it again. Or we can recognize something. We can recognize that God has a plan and a move. He is stirring something in the spirit that is massive. He is stirring something that is incredible. I know it, I know it, I know it. All right, I've shared my testimony about Joshua, and I've been 40 years in ministry. This year will be 40 years I've been in ministry, and I'm getting ready to actually begin my full-time ministry this year, right? I mean, for me, this is like crossing the Jordan and the beginning of my ministry. We are in a whole new time, a whole new place, a whole new thing that God wants to do here. And in the middle of what God wants to do here, let me tell you what I will not do. I'm not going to build the house on sand. Now, let me tell you what that means. It means that we're going to have to humble some of our thoughts. We're going to have to humble some of the things that we thought. It means we're going to have to humble some of the things that we are convinced of. We're going to have to humble ourselves. Get a bunch of religious people to submit. That's a good one. But I want to be that. I want to be that. Says all of my traditions and the things that I had learned. I didn't pick the song list, by the way, and they pulled that song and I saw it this morning for the first time and I'm like, ooh, that was God. Throw down my religion and my traditions. I know God wants to do something here. And church, I'm going to be diligently seeking. I'm asking you to do the same. I submit myself to you in the same way. I want to be a church that does what this says. Not based upon any other traditions or any other, you know, any other philosophies, but let's do what this says. Now, let me tell you something. It is not as fun as doing what we want to do. It's not as fun. But I believe that if we don't, and I'm not claiming to prophesy. I'm just telling you what God showed me. If we don't build it on this church, this place will be nothing and will be forgotten of in history. Won't matter. Somebody else will come in and move into this building and another church will move on and God will do it through somebody else. If we don't. I feel like I got that pretty clear from the man. So I have an absolute desire. Now, having said that, I just want you to understand this. I just want you to get this. I want God to move. Last night, the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. I have no idea what he was trying to show me. I'm just being honest with you. I hear people say, well, the Lord told me, and I'm like, man, I know I hear him once in a while, but do I have it figured out? No. No, that's a no. I'm still learning. But the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night with some things, and I'm trying to deal with those. But as a church body, I need you to hear me right now. We all bring things to this church that may not be right. Okay? Can you agree with me that you may be wrong in your theology? Everybody's looking at me like, not me. Don't get pride, man. I watched how that went and it was not good. There may be things about what I have believed, what I've thought, what I understood, which are not right. My desire is to find the right and to do it. And I'm asking you to pray with me, church. This is a little bit less of a message just to try to encourage you or build you up. I feel this is a message for this body. Yes. That God is preparing us for something. Amen. We ask him to prove it, and he did. Now, I think there's more to come. So let's pray. I'm gonna ask you to continue to pray with me. God, here's my prayer. The Lord says, hear and do, and you build your house on a rock. And I want to hear this word, and I want to do what it says to do, the way it says to do it. In Jesus' name, are you with me? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I come before you right now. I release my pride, my arrogance, the things I think I know, the things I think I have figured out, the part of me that says, I've got it figured out, God. I surrender that to you. And I say, you do what you want to do. And you help us. You help us to conform to your will, not our own. You help us to submit to this word, not to our traditions, not to the beliefs we've held in the past. God, you help us to submit to this word. And I pray and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.